Well, I'm glad you're all here, despite the snow and the wind and the wonderful weather. It reminds me today of a day last year when I went snowshoeing in Gatineau Park. And you're beginning to get to know me a little bit. You probably understand that I don't stay on the trail. I find my way through the woods, the forest. I just go. And it was a beautiful day, but there was a lot of snow. And even with my snowshoes, I was sinking almost up to my knees because it was rather heavy. And when I lifted my snowshoe, of course, it felt like I was lifting 100 pounds with every step. But I had a lot on my mind, and so I just went and just kept going. And after about an hour and a half, I stopped and looked around and realized I had no idea where I was. So I pulled out my trusty iPhone to check the GPS. No service. I looked on my downloaded map of Gatineau Park, which was a great map, but when you don't know where you are, it doesn't really help. I could follow my own trail, of course, back, because I'd certainly left some marks in the snow, but that was a long way, and my knee had started to hurt, and I really thought I wanted to get back rather than start all over again. And in that moment, my heart started to beat just a little faster. I got a little more sweaty, and my knees were a little weak. And I actually thought, well, if I've got to die somewhere, it's a pretty nice spot. Anyway, in that frightened and sort of embarrassed moment where you realize how stupid you've been, I paused and took a breath and looked up instead of down or straight ahead. And much to my astonishment, saw an embankment and realized it was the ski trail. I knew exactly where I was. And there, unexpectedly, a vision of joy broke through in that moment. Today we hear about, in Isaiah, God's chosen people who have lost their way. They are off course, away from all the familiar. They're trying to live and navigate their way through the exile. They feel inadequate. They've been grumbling and complaining. And they've let God down and feel like God has let them down. And in the midst of their panic about where they are and the future that may not come to them, in that moment, God speaks and tells them that they're not alone, they will reach the promised land, and that God will be with them the whole way. In that moment, in the midst of their snowstorm, an unbidden, unexpected word of joy broke through. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Well, here we are on a rather snowy road of Advent, heading away towards Christmas. We're deep into this journey by now, and there are many temptations and challenges that distract us from the actual reason for this season, Jesus' birth. 10 days. And counting. We're all madly rushing about, doing the preparations, getting the perfect gift, overspending, stocking up on food. I don't know about you, but I was at the grocery store yesterday. Stupid or what? A snowstorm and Christmas coming. It was madness. There is so much pressure for us to have a perfect Christmas. And we all see all the commercials all the time. Lovely, cozy fireplaces, perfectly decorated trees, piles of beautifully wrapped gifts, well-dressed, well-behaved children, smiling parents and grandchildren, grandparents. Those are the images that we all see. Christmas music is everywhere, and there's no way you can escape Santa Claus. And yet, Where is the joy? I didn't see much of it in the faces of my fellow shoppers yesterday. The reality is that for most of us, Christmas is far from that vision I just described, far from the vision that advertising likes to put before us. In fact, often we're sometimes a little bit lost, like I was in the forest. In fact, we're sometimes afraid, a little bit like the people of Israel. Because we know the truth. Our families aren't picture perfect. Some of us may dread the annual get-together because we actually don't like the people we're getting together with. We happen to have been born amongst them. That doesn't mean we enjoy them. Children are disheveled or won't get out of their pajamas or are grumpy because they've eaten too many candy canes. Many people are struggling financially, but they keep spending. Many people are depressed and angry at this time of year. And anyone who has lost someone they love remembers them at Christmas. And that means all of us. Lots of people are hanging on by a thread, and joy is hard to be found. 3 years ago in November, I moved back to Canada to spend time with my family, and I was really looking forward to spending Christmas here in Ottawa with my brothers, my mother, and extended family. I'd come back because my mother was failing, but just before Christmas, she was dying. Her favorite time of year was turning into a rather sad experience. And so we kept gathering and doing the vigil at the hospital and all the things you do when someone is dying. And on Christmas Eve, my brothers had family, children here, and so I said, you go off. I'm on my own. I'll spend Christmas Eve in the hospital with Mom. Thinking, wow, this is pretty darn depressing. I wish it was some other way. So I arrived for the shift at about 7 o'clock in the evening, and Mom was lying in bed looking absolutely beautiful. And as I sat with her, she spent 5 hours telling me how lovely her life had been. My friends tease me now that I always use the word lovely. And it's thanks to that night 3 years ago. She said, we've been married, your dad and I, for 56 years, and it sure wasn't easy, but it was always joyful. And that night, after 5 hours, and Christmas Day had just come, I said to her, Mom, you can fall asleep now. You made it to your favorite day of the year. And so she did. And later that day, we gathered around her bed, and she was the center of the fun. And she regaled us with more stories, and we had a wonderful Christmas Day. And the next night, on St. Stephen's Day, on Boxing Day, she died in the evening with us around her to the strains of Silent Night. In that moment, when one might be sad, unexpected joy broke through, and my brothers and I found ourselves laughing and enjoying the time we had. Joy is like that. It breaks through in the darkest of times in quick, fleeting ways. We have to pay attention to see the illumined path before us, to listen for the word of God, to watch for the crocus, to hear the unexpected story. Because joy is really different than happiness. My friend Michael Thompson says that happiness is circumstantial, and joy is a choice we make of how to relate to the circumstances of our life. Joy is a discipline, a decision to live gladly even in the midst of circumstances that are not lovely or easy. That's what my mother taught me. That's how she lived her life. And she took the time to break that word of joy open for me. On this third Sunday in Advent, how will we not only be open to unexpected joy. Pay attention so that we may recognize it in our midst, especially when we're so busy, and also break it open for others. What word of joy will you speak today? What act of joy will you share with someone else this week? What story of joy will you tell? The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Those crocuses are there underneath that snow this morning. Joy is here in the midst of us, for us to see, should we care to see it. So pay attention. Watch for joy. You don't want to miss it. And you do want to break it open in your life and in the life of others. Amen.